allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. Selectmen's meeting, November 27th, 7 o'clock. Roll call, Mr. Komazat.
Present.
Mrs. Young.
Here.
Mr. Dan.
Here.
Mr. Lawberty.
Here.
Alvin Roby. Andrea Hansen, recording secretary. First on our agenda is to approve our public minutes from last meeting, November 13th. Approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion.
Have a second? Second. Mr. Komazat, all in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
No, I abstain. Thank you. Next on the agenda, want to discuss payment of appraisal on the Sanborn Trust property for conservation. Ms. Wilberman, you're here again this evening?
I am here. I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding last time. I thought we had taken care of this when we spoke about a month ago, so I've just come back to wrap up any questions and or concerns there. So when we met last, just about a month ago, we talked about both of these projects. One, I want to thank you for the forward progress on Fowler. That's moving forward. Likely will be... that easement will probably be done by the end of this year, by the end of December, likely. So likely I'll be back for your signatures and that final project at some point in the next month or so. The Sanborn project, that is what we're looking at trying to pay the invoice for regarding the appraisal, is that we actually have received, with the help of Bearpaw, a grant through the PREP and Great Bay community area, a grant that will pay for half of this appraisal. So we as a town will pay out of our conservation fund $2,600, and we will receive back through the grant a check for $1,300 that would go back into the conservation fund. So effectively, this is an expenditure out of the conservation fund of, once that grant comes back, of $1,300. Currently, we are looking at and working with Bearpaw on finding grants that would make that project go forward. There's a NRCS Wetland Reserve Easement Program that we are pursuing that would likely, if that came through, help make that project a go. So both of these projects that we're looking at in terms of what would be spent out of our conservation fund is helping with this upfront work of the appraisal work and with transaction costs is what we're looking at, because we're trying to steward the fund that we have, which we want to make use as wisely as possible. So we're trying to use, you know, leverage grant money that is available. So in order to pay this appraisal, I would need your approval, I guess. I thought we had it last time, but it wasn't clear enough in the minutes, so of allowing this to be paid. Again, this would be $2,600 out of the conservation fund, and it would be, we would be reimbursed, the conservation fund would be reimbursed $1,300 through the PRP grant program. And it's important that we step forward before the grant expires.
Susan,
yes.
We talked about the Sanborn property briefly, mm-hmm. two meetings ago.
Sure.
It was 268 acres, is that correct?
The Sanborn easement is larger. I have here...
And you were looking for...
Yep, here we go.
You
this
were looking
is a
for
copy of the invoice.
You were looking for a grant?
We have the grant.
No,
but,
no. For the easement.
Yeah,
they
that's
don't, you
still...
You don't even have a grant secured.
Yeah,
for
you
easement.
Have to do this first before you can even get...
Somebody has to do that first.
Correct.
Now, the Sanborns want to put an easement on that large parcel of land off of Patton Hill Road.
That's the desire that they have, that's true.
That's the desire. And they're looking for how much money?
That's not even on the table at the moment here. So the issue here is that this is not uncommon in the towns around us, where you help with of that piece. In terms of that project going forward, it would need a major grant to make that happen.
That's correct.
And it has the value of the fact that it abuts right up to the existing Fordway Preserve project that was done several years ago, which is at the base of where you have Crawley Road and it makes the 90 degree turn. That corner, the Fordway Brook Preserve, this property would abuts that. And with the Fowler project moving forward, that would abut it. And so effectively, what would happen in that corner is that it would be a large portion of the headwaters of the Fordway Brook would be protected, which, as we spoke last time, is important in terms of what water quality protection, looking towards that all drains towards the Exeter River, so which further downstream becomes, has value. So it has connectivity. We wouldn't look at, as a commission, we get asked frequently about projects, and we're concerned about connectivity. In this particular, these two projects, one of the reasons we wanted to move forward, if we look at the natural resource inventory that we did a few years ago, they fit in terms of quality, of co-occurrence, of value. So that's why we, as a commission who's been charged with looking for these sorts of things, that we desire to move forward in this direction. We don't move forward on every project that people ask us about, because we say, when things come to us and it doesn't look like it really is realistic or that it would long term be valuable for that purpose, we don't pursue those because our funds are limited. We want to leverage those to our best advantage. Yeah.
And I think I misunderstood. I thought we were just signing for the Fowler.
We were.
I didn't know, because I thought that the Fowlers had in fact given the conservation or done an easement.
Yeah, it's all in the process.
Right, that's the Fowlers. This is a different property.
This one abuts it, that's right.
Yes, I know. Yes. I remember the map and everything.
Yeah.
But they haven't given the commission an easement.
One's given anybody an easement.
Oh,
that's all in process right now. So this is all you. In order to write an easement, you have to have an appraisal of what it is that you're working with.
Can
we have that discussion?
Some clarity for Mrs. Young. The Fowlers granted their easement. They're going to grant their easement to the conservation.
To the conservation.
They're donating a donation.
Right. That's
the
what I
Sanborn
understood.
Easement. They're searching a grant, a federal grant, if I'm not mistaken.
True.
For a large amount of money.
True.
So a
little
bit
the
different.
Development rights. They want to be compensated for their rights.
And that's part of what this grant would be helping to do. Exactly.
This grant here.
This is not a grant. This is just an appraisal.
You just said we're going to get half of this back.
That's true, through a different grant. Exactly.
Right. And if that never goes, and if no one comes through, a federal grant doesn't come through to pay for that easement, the appraisal will be null and void.
That's part of the risk that you take in these projects.
That's part of the risk.
And as a commission, our commission feels that it's worth the risk to take on this particular project, given the fact that we know it abuts an existing property that was preserved using that fund, that gives it a higher value when you apply for it. So it has a lot of good things going for it. If it didn't, we would still be at the drawing board looking at options, because our fund does not have what would be needed to pursue that. And so we're in the
And so if we do this, if we pay for the appraisal for them,
true.
They have agreed to do what? What if the Sanborns agreed? I think I understand the Fowlers.
So we can't apply for the NRCS grant until we do this step. So we're holding up any sort of forward progress can't be made until we do an appraisal. If that makes sense. So
yeah.
the desire is to pursue these grants that would make this project happen. This is step one that allows that process to take place.
And the trust is not willing to pay for this appraisal.
They've asked our assistance in making this step happen. And as I've said, this is not an unusual step when there is conservation work being done in towns. This is a very common procedural approach in working on conservation easements.
Okay. Let me just say that if someone is searching a grant for a large amount of money for their development rights, going through this process that you speak of, it's probably a worthwhile cause, but wouldn't you think that the trust would pay for them appraisals and such, moving to the point of, okay, we're gonna get this grant from the federal grant and we're gonna deposit this check, and maybe that small token to be able to conserve that property wouldn't be a whole lot to ask from someone.
See, that's what I don't understand.
I think
it might help to if just also
put
consider
that amount of money in your trust fund, a large sum of money, very large, for your development rights.
You also have to remember that
for a few thousand dollars,
they're still giving up in that process.
Rights.
You know, they're regardless of who it is, you know, it's not. I think the best way to
it's
communicate.
It's not personalities.
Yeah,
we're talking
yeah,
about
I want to set
land
aside.
Here.
I
right.
want to set
exactly.
aside personalities. Set aside
exactly.
that. The what a person when they're moving in that progression is doing is, you know, if they do get a grant, there's nothing saying that that grant is actually what it would be if they were to go sell it out in some other way. And
right,
I think we have to keep.
Wondering.
I think we have to keep that in mind. And I think we also maybe want to step back. And as I had shared last time about, you know, the placement of projects, and we think about, you know, one thing I would really love us to do in the next few months is to go back and really look at what the RSA says about what a conservation commission can do and can't do, because I've been looking over it really carefully, and with all due respect, decisions like this. This is why there's a conservation commission, to steward a conservation fund and to make these sorts of choices. And it's a bit discouraging as a commission to walk this line very carefully of being stewards, of looking at what we know about, as I shared. You know, we wouldn't say that all properties are candidates for easement. We wouldn't say that. And we try to walk this really careful line. And for me, I went to school for this. You know, I went to school studying water resources. I went to school thinking about these things. So these aren't, you know, we very carefully make decisions as we look at it. And there's always seems to be this tension of making decisions that, you know, the RSAs lay out what a commission can do and not, and so, that's another issue. But back to this one, this is a small price to pay to help preserve land in that would protect water resources, not only for that corner of our town, but for our neighbors within the watershed. You know, water doesn't know boundaries. It doesn't take much for us to understand that. We can see that in weather around us. Water knows no boundaries, and we have, I think we have a particularly high responsibility. We live in a town that has four major watersheds, the headwaters of, and you know, it's tough to put a price tag on that. So, I don't know. I'm asking for $1,300. That we can spend $1,300 out of our conservation easement to help potentially make this important regional project happen. These grants wouldn't come through if the region didn't think they were important. PRP wouldn't pay for that.
Had a comment. Let's move along here.
Yeah, I think there's two things I that I'm seeing here. It's like, one is point that you're making, I think Sue's trying to make, is that if someone, if someone's gonna reap, someone's gonna end up with a large sum of money, then you think they ultimately should be responsible or kick that money in. But, and I think the point that Susan's making is that to the town of Candia, for the small sum of $1,300, that's well worth it to the, when you're looking at your overall plan that you're working, it's a very sensitive acreage right there and watershed. So I see this, there's two things. One is sort of on principle, Carlton. It's really not the money, $1,300, but you're saying, right, on principle, you're saying if somebody is gonna get, say, $500,000
compensated
for the development rights, then ultimately, if something doesn't sit well with you, that, gee, maybe that's not right. But if you, but with Susan saying, if you look at the larger picture and you look at our strategy, and for the small amount of $1,300, and I think, and you said that the Sanborns have said to you, well, we would like you to pay for it, and you're saying, gee, we think it's worth pursuing. So, all right, yeah. So I think I understand the issues at hand.
See, I definitely don't. So, so they're not donating this land. Okay.
Mr. Lewis had a comment from the Conservation Commission, and we're going to hear from him right now.
Yeah, I just had a comment. The Land Trust is the one going out looking for the grant to fund the purchase of these. However, they're looking, and I think they look in every town. If someone comes in and wants to do a conservation easement, they look at the town to put in this small amount of money, because the Land Trust doesn't have much money. And, you know, they may have 15 of these projects going on in different towns. So they can't afford to fund all of these appraisals. So they come to the Conservation Commission, and then we look at it, and For a $1,300 investment of our conservation fund, we may get 300 acres of land in return that's conserved. So for us, it's a small amount of money used out of our conservation fund for a huge return. That's what we look at. Will they get their money? Maybe not. That's the risk we take, the risk anybody would take. Yeah, in a perfect world, it would be great if the person who's going to do the easement put up the money, but sometimes they can't or won't, or whatever their reasons are. And for us, we look at $1,300 as a pretty small investment to conserve a few hundred acres of land.
And from the Conservation Commission standpoint, I can understand that 100%.
Yeah.
I understand that completely.
And I understand your point too, Carlton, about, you know,
I understand your point 100%. For $1,300 for the Conservation Commission to wrap up 277 acres, and yes, it may be part of it, maybe in the watershed, but a good portion of it is upland soils and very developable.
Every piece of land is part of a watershed, whether it's a wetland or an upland.
Okay.
Every,
and we've talked about that.
I'm just saying, there's not, but I mean, that's a perspective that's hard for us to understand. Every place on the face of the earth is part of a watershed,
right. Okay.
Whether it's upland or wetlands or a lake or a river.
So, okay, so let's move on here. We've been here.
Yep.
So, do we have a motion to fund the Conservation Commission or the appraisal, Beesby Appraisal Services, for the sum of $2,600. Do I have a motion for that?
But before, Sue still has a question here.
Well, we can talk about it.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a motion. I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Move along. I'll second.
Okay, the motion has been made by Mark, seconded by Mr. Dan. And Susan, you wanted to talk about that some more?
So this is fine. I'm not going to swabble about $1,000. Somebody else can.
Okay.
I'm not.
So do you want to vote?
Well, I still don't understand if they get their thing, they're still going to be compensated later on. They're not giving the town or giving them the conservation easement. They'll still be
I haven't said
compensated
a word.
Later on?
Oh my
Sanborns
God.
Would be.
By whom?
The Land Trust.
By whom?
By the Land Trust will get the grant, and then they will pay whatever the appraisal for that is.
They will. So they're not going to just give the town that land.
No.
That's why they're going after these
grants.
Go ahead, Mark. Okay.
Go ahead,
Mark.
Are you clear?
Yeah, it's not what I thought it was, I guess.
I don't even know why we're arguing about this.
Yeah.
This Conservation Commission has made a calculated effort to put 1/200th of the money that they have in their kitty towards something they feel will land them 277 acres of land that will be protected forever, protect headwaters, and will be a benefit to our town for generations to come. I don't even know where the argument is. Thank you.
Okay, motion was made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I oppose. I think there's more to look at in that situation.
I'd be happy to meet with you and chat about it if you'd like, after, you know, at some point.
Oh, I understand your point, Susan.
That's okay.
We'll do this in good faith. Yeah.
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 All right. Yeah. This is, Andrew, this is what you would ask
for.
Thank you. And a copy for you from tonight.
Next on the agenda, we're going to go over the health insurance options once again that we talked about. You were on here, Mark.
No, I read it. I know that I've seen the emails.
We had a little confusion at our last meeting without enough comparisons. We have some comparisons that Michelle got through to us. I think the top page is the Harvard page.
Yep.
That's what we're working with this year. I think the town offered the silver plan last year, and most people opted for the same plan that they had, which was the gold plan. So we have this. We have two other ones here from Tufts Health. Anthem. So, have you had a chance to look at that during the week?
Yeah, I did.
Yep. Russ? Too many things to look at.
Okay.
No, the Harvard Pilgrim, I mean, we've had it, people are aware of it. My feeling is if we can stay with them, it will benefit our employees because they're familiar with the system. And I don't see that much difference. The other one is, to me, there's more out of the pocket money on all the other companies.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually am kind of
on the Harvard also.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So we're on Harvard. The second plant, the silver Best Buy.
We talked about this a little bit. Did you have anything you wanted to interject, Scott? You want me to?
The only thing I want to say is that the last meeting, I said that I'd like to talk to Michelle Simino over at the Granite Group just to get a feel or a sense for what other communities are doing. And what she did share with me is that, by and large, what's happening is communities are in some way splitting it with the employees. That was the piece of information that I was curious about. So.
Well, I looked at this last week in depth. We offered, according to the front page that Michelle gave us last week, we offered the Silver Best Buy plan in 2017 to our employees. From what Donna shows us at the bottom here, most of our employees opted to pay the difference and take the plan that they had been accustomed to prior to that. Everybody on board with that statement?
Mm-hmm.
I think that creates a lot of confusion in the office as far as paperwork and who's on what. I looked at on this here, the Silver Best Buy plan has an increased deductible from $2,000 to $3,000 per person, from $4,000 to $6,000, and per family co-insurance up to $7,350 per person, or $14,700 per family out of pocket, maximum calendar year. The co-pays are up a little bit compared to the plan that they're using. There was some discussion at our last meeting about increasing our portion of what we helped them with towards their deductible.
Oh, the timing of it, yeah.
No, and increasing the amount we offered, $750 at this point. And that was at the end. After they had paid $1,250, we would pay the balance of $750. You thought about that a little bit? To keep their rate down, that's a 4.8% increase compared to 17.2. If we change the employees' pay to first $750 deductible, and we add $750 to our reimbursement fund to $1,500, they could pay the first $750. We pay the next $1,500. They had to pick up $750 to get to the $3,000 deductible. If half, if they use that. If you go back and look at our history of our employees, very few people ever max out the deductible. We have a very healthy staff, which we're fortunate for. No one takes advantage of it. And I think renewal option two would be in our best interest at this point. That's just my take on that, and I spent some time on it last week.
We can discuss it as much as anybody wants, but I definitely agree to offer the silver Best Buy, and I'll certainly make a motion. Here we're talking about $5,000 a year. I would say that possibly I would agree with having them pay $750 and then the town kicking in the $1,500. As long as we budget for it, we just need new numbers for that, and then we'll pay the other $750. I think that's going to help out a little bit because the employees will have some sort of the $750 that they pay, you know.
Okay.
You know, you understand what I mean? Is that going to work?
Yeah. Were you making a motion?
Yes, I was trying to, but I want people to talk.
I don't want to.
I'll second that motion if you want. We can keep the discussion going.
Oh, I was going to interject at this point. For your benefit would be, we should probably make a motion to do the plan 3,000, 4,496 first. Then we'll come back and make a motion to increase our portion of the deductible.
Oh, where is he getting 3,000?
Option two. Option two.
That says 4,496.
44,000.
44.
Yeah, I thought he said 3,000.
Yeah, we should make that.
Well, that's the number of the plan.
It is, it's a 3,000.
I need to go on that insurance because I'm losing my hearing.
We should make that motion first, Mrs. Schultz.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to offer the employees the Silver Best Buy plan. And that's that
LP
motion.
LP 3,000.
LP 3,000, 4,496.
And I will second that.
And Mr. Lauderbury seconded that. Is that any discussion?
I have no questions. Do you have anything?
Were you going to make a...
I made a motion.
You made the motion.
Okay, now we're going to adjust it after we accept it.
This part he wants to do separately.
No, all right, that's separate. Okay.
All right, so we're going to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So we've adopted a plan. Okay, now would you like to... Yeah, why don't you do this right here, Susan?
I think
why don't you do this right here?
Yeah, the same thing. That the employee deductible reimbursement policy changed to the employee paying the first $750 of the deductible, the town reimbursing the next $1,500, and then the employee will pay the last $750. And the employee will continue to be responsible for submitting the required paperwork. The policy says that already, I think.
And that's Mrs. Young's motion.
And I will second that as well.
Any discussion on that, Mr. Dan?
No, it seems like you must be working with the office that can work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just need figures on that.
I only have one question.
Yes, sir.
So, do we have an average on how much people, you say they almost never make it to $3,000. So, do you have an average on what the number is usually per year, or?
We've averaged 2 to 3 people asking for the 750 at the end.
Okay.
At the end of the year.
Okay. So this is kind of a request then for that, that 750 per year.
No, well, they're entitled. It's a benefit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. No, I get. Sorry about that.
Right now, when they took, this is discussion on a motion in a second. There was a $2,000 deductible.
Yep, and get that.
Our employees paid the first $1,250.
Yep.
When they got to that $1,250, they'd come to the town and ask for the $750 or whatever it took to get to what they needed.
Okay.
All right?
Yep, yep.
All right.
Got that.
So now we're going to double that.
But we're going to front load one half of it and then back load the other half.
We're going to pay it in the middle. They're still going to pay the first $750.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
We're going to pay it in the middle.
All right,
and then
I get
if
it.
They go over the $2,250, they will have to come up with $750
okay.
to get to the $3,000.
All right, I apologize. I had it backwards.
You don't have to apologize.
Nope, nope. I had the $750 and the $1,500 flipped. My apologies. Thank you.
All right, so do you think that'll work for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all in favor?
All right.
Thank you. Board to continue discussion about proposed warrant article and decide if they want to move forward on the warrant. That had to do with the three-member board of selectmen. And was there any thought given to that during the week, 2 weeks? None?
Yeah, I've given it some thought, Carlton. And although I recognize your thought or your ideas, the concept here to try to make things more efficient. I think ultimately that it's particularly the perception that is that 5-member board will be better than 3. We had that increased workload from when we went to SB2, and that's when we went to 5 people, and there is a big workload. And the more I think about it, is I keep coming back to this idea that started a couple years back. I know Sean James with the planning board, and we went into the visioning last spring in March, and then we came out of that with this idea of a town administrator, recognizing that we probably have too many responsibilities as not volunteer select board members, but part-time. It's very, for someone to come in here, it's pretty complicated. All the procedures, processes, everything that's going on, all the RSAs. So I think at some point we have to have a dialogue and start thinking about when might be an appropriate time to have a town administrator, or is that something that we even want to consider? But that I think that when I look at it, really, the select board is really really kind of a revolving door. If you go back over the last 10, 15 years, there's not a lot of constants. And so I think what happens is things just kind of, people come, people go. And without some constant in a town administrator that sort of drive the ship, so to speak, then I think it just sort of wanders. So that's something that I would be in favor of at least discussing.
Well, this discussion was about a 3-member going from a 5 to a 3-member board.
Yep. Well, that kind of, asked if I had any thought, but as I thought about that, because I think what happens is we don't really have the qualifications that we really need to really do this job effectively. So I'm just trying to explain what I've learned, and when we talk about going from 5 to 3. So personally, I'm not in favor of going from 5 to 3.
Okay. Mrs. Young?
I'm not in favor, but probably for a different reason. I think people can put as much work into it as they want or as they can. We all work outside of this job. But to me, 5 heads are better than 3. I don't know. It's a simple concept, but different ideas.
I'd stay with the 5.
Okay.
Stay with the 5.
Okay. So that's a dead issue. Okay. Moving on. Was it now? Did you want to continue?
I wanted to, if it's not appropriate at this meeting, then put it on the agenda. I think it's something that has come up there's a number of times, and people have talked about it and explained the benefits. And when I look at it and I look at the challenges we face, I think if we're going to ever move forward, the way that Canada has operated in the past, it has worked. By and large, we've kept our costs down and we've kept everything simple. Is that going to work in the next 100 years? Next 50 years, probably not, when you look at the challenges. And I think if you look at communities our size, I mean, I think I would be in favor of having this to be a volunteer position and having somebody that's in at work here every day focusing on some of the things that, we should be focusing on that quite often we don't have the time to nor the expertise. So that's just my observation from being here for a couple of years now.
Okay, is there any interest in pursuing a warrant article to pertain to what Mr. Kumerzak is speaking of?
I think it's too soon to do that for 2018, but it would be certainly something to look at for 2019. My feeling is, if you don't mind, I'll be quick.
Take it.
Because you just said 90% of what I was thinking. That's a great idea. I think that towns our size have town administrators. Some have town managers. I don't think we need a town manager, but I do think we need somebody that's in the office that's dealing. We talked about this whole HR thing. I think a town administrator would have been able to address that. We talk about welfare. Might be someone who can do with that. Somebody that can be there for the day-to-day. We talk about issues. Sometimes we talk about doing reviews and working with departments. Now we have a person that's there working with the departments every day, finding, kind of working with them, and then working with us to say, here are some of the things you should be looking at in terms of when you, as selectmen, do the vision thing, do the big work, really drive the vision for the town. I think a town administrator is very helpful in that, and I believe that that's something over the next year we should be looking at in terms of maybe bringing in someone that's a town manager or a retired town manager, somebody from the municipal association, or somebody to just say, okay, this is what a town manager does. Any community
Administrator, right?
Town administrator. This is what a town administrator does. This is how it can work in a community like yours. This is what it costs. This is, and say, well, maybe you don't need it. Maybe a town like yours can get away with what you're doing right now if you do the following things. I think a discussion is worth having. And the one thing I would consider is that if we are serious about having this conversation, maybe we do revisit the budget and put a line item for $1 in there just so we have it in there so it's not forgotten, so we make sure that the discussion is had and that in September of 2018, when we've done this due diligence, we can then make a decision whether or not we want to fund this. Just my humble opinion. I don't know what people think, but...
Well, it would be something that would go to vote on the ballot, and...
Not necessarily. I mean...
Well, yeah, the selectmen, us five, aren't going to go hire a town administrator without asking
the
people.
Yeah, I would ask for the community input.
Well, we could do that. I'm saying we...
Go from two, from five to three.
Yeah. But eventually we would want, but we'd also have to have a line item.
Let's go to eight.
But we would have to have a line item.
No, it would be the next year, you know, just like what we just talked. It would be, it would just be something to put out there. It's something to consider. I agree with Mr. Kumerzak. The society and communities are moving quickly, and we hate to get left behind. You know, there's so much to be done that, you know, there's a lot to be done here that a lot of people don't see. A lot of things can be done. But anyway, so that's a little discussion. I agree with you, Mark. If we're not interested, we're not interested, and we can talk about it again next year at this time.
Oh, I'm not saying we're not interested.
I don't think next year at this time it should be brought earlier in the year, not in December.
I'm just saying if we're going to do something like this, let's not rush it. Let's do it right. Let's do the due diligence and find out what it takes, how we would implement it. Talk to the people in the office to kind of find out what they would be looking for in terms of a town administrator, because they have some great insight in terms of the roles they have, what they would like to see in somebody in that role. And go from there. And then again, maybe look at a community our size and say how their experience has been and what the pros and cons have been. In the end, we're going to be overseeing this person, and even if the town votes for it, we're still going to be managing this person, and we have to make sure that person that comes in fits what we're looking for. How do we put them in the matrix? Things like that. So I think we need the time to do this right. But once we do it right, and if we do get the right person in, I think it would be a huge benefit to the town.
I'll make a motion to, in April of next year, to open up some discussion on this subject.
I don't think we need to do a motion. I think we just put it on the agenda.
Well, the agenda, fine. I mean, whatever, you know, just that it doesn't get lost
pushed
along
under
the way.
Do we have to wait? I mean, how long do you think this process would take? So we're talking about getting it on not in March, but the following March would be, give us enough time to research it and see if it has, see if it's a smart thing or not. You're right, I think we should research it thoroughly before we just put it on.
I personally would just like to wait until after we get through the warrant and the budget time and until we get everything taken care of. Let's let that, let's just this season end, and then once it slows down for us, put it on our agenda as a top priority for 2018.
Okay, all right.
That just...
Okay, done with that. We'll authorize the payment of payroll checks and accounts payable, Mark. Could you do that for us?
I'm happy to. I'm back at it. All right. Okay, weekly payroll accounts payable, the 22nd of November, $16,896.85. The 30th of November, $16,374.13. Payroll subtotal, $33,270.98. Accounts payable, 22nd of November, $42,256.53. 30th of November, $13,206.69. Accounts payable subtotal $55,463.22. Grand total $88,734.20.
I so move to accept the weekly payroll and accounts payable manifest total $88,734.20.
Do I have a second? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 I have one thing under other business. This is addressed to the Board of Selectmen. On behalf of the trustees of the trust funds, the Select Board considered Dennis Hebert to be appointed to fill the position as alternate on the trustees of the trust funds. Mr. Hebert doesn't say that here, but he was an alternate.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't ask for reappointment a year ago, and he's requesting reappointment now. And enclosed is a copy of. I would like to consider to fill the post of alternate on the trustees of the Trust Funds Committee for the Town of Candia. Dennis Hebert Jr., 122 Horizon Drive Lane, Candia, New Hampshire.
I'll make a motion to
appoint
Tim as an alternate.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
No.
Aye. Aye.
Do we have a certificate?
Yeah, they're good.
Any other business, Mr. Komisar?
I do not.
Mrs. Young?
No.
Mr. Dan?
I do. Last week I was asked for some clarification on a statement I made about the recycling committee. The solid waste is what is recycled, and 86% of that gets recycled. The other trash either gets burned or goes to landfill, depends upon waste management, where that truck is going that day. Question on the Exit 3 purchase and sales agreement. Has Wildcat was not here at the final meeting. Did they get their copy?
Yes.
Did we get a check for $3,000?
Yes.
It's in the
general fund.
It's in the general fund? Okay, I think I'd like to have known that because that was part of the agreement that we had. I just wanted to make sure sometimes, and now they'll do that every year? If they renew. Now, who follows up on that?
The office will follow up on that. Andrea knows that was October 25th, I think, or September 25th, whatever the date was. September 25th, correct?
Signed October was October 9th.
Not knowing that the check came in, it was money that was owed Candy.
I think it was in something we signed. Wasn't it in the ledger?
The other thing is Wildcat Development. The excavated material from 2016 that has money come in on that?
They didn't excavate any material in 2016.
There was some, there were things being done on anything, the paper says anything by April 1 of the previous year.
I don't think they had started that by then. I don't think they had started, but you know.
I mean, we shouldn't, now is that the building inspector would check into that?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other question is, who owns that material at this point? That's, I mean, we're, I'm talking about money that's old candy, and that's what, that's all that I've got concerned about.
Wildcat Development owns the material.
They own the material.
They own the property, yeah.
They own the property.
All right. Okay. Back in early October, we talked about the recycling center manager operator job description. That was never voted on. We were gonna vote on it, and it wasn't brought up in any other meeting. You wanna do that at the next meeting? Everybody got a copy of it.
Was that part of our non-public?
No, no.
It was not?
No, no, no.
So you had a new job description?
A proposal, he had a
proposed job description for the.
I remember that.
Manager recycling operator.
Supervisor or something.
What is his title under the system, the grade system?
Facility operator.
Facility operator.
No, they changed his title to.
This went to supervisor or something.
Yeah, facility supervisor. That's what she changed it to.
I know what you mean.
You all received a copy of it, and I think we've gotta move forward on it at that point, is what it amounts to. We don't have to do it this evening, but it should be on the next meeting at that point. Cause it's getting old at this point.
To change the job description, is that what it's entitled?
Correct. It's revised.
Revised, so we have the old one and the new one.
You've had them, yes, you have. All right. And next meeting, we're going to. From recycling energy and, Energy and Recycling Committee, we have a contract coming forward from Standard Power about electrical. You will all have this to be able to look at.
Yeah.
To decide. You have one already?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was in the.
Yeah.
Al Coach asked me to put them in the box of it, so they have those.
We'd like to talk about it at the next meeting, that we have a chance.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it up now before. I didn't know that everybody.
Sorry. Yeah, Al came in last Wednesday, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I was looking, Scott and I were actually looking at this PowerPoint beforehand. We're kinda confused, so.
Well.
Is someone gonna walk us through this?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we're not, I don't wanna spend any time this evening. It'll be on the agenda next meeting for that type of question. Okay? That's all I have.
So why don't you follow up on that? Couple new copies of your job description for the supervisor.
Andrea, you've got those, right?
You've sent them to me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get them, look at them again. I think there was some confusion at that.
The old, I think I need to compare with the old. I don't know what the difference is.
Different things, and we were deciding whether we were gonna do non-public or public, and
ended
up that we went into non-public about this whole thing.
And then we talked about it in public, and that's what we, to discuss the position, not any person.
It was on a very limited basis, so you might wanna think about going into non-public again.
No, it's a description, job description.
Okay.
Could it, yeah.
Okay.
Carl, I have something.
I got just one question for Russ when you're done signing. And the job description, as you read it, what was it? What did it say? Who are we looking at?
It is recycling center manager / operator.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we got those.
Anything else?
Scott has.
No, a number of months ago, Mark brought up the LED lighting, And I know Russ is liaison to the recycling committee, and I was just wondering if maybe you could touch base with them.
I sent her.
Or if you're aware of any further discussion, because I know the payback was very aggressive, like a 3-year payback, and a lot of municipalities are doing it, so.
Yeah, we literally talked about it a year ago, I remember.
No, they've been.
That's on there.
Are we going to get something? Because I know we're getting near the time they got to swap out those sodium lights, so I'd love to be able to see something. Well, I mean, there's a life.
They're going to replace them.
They're going to replace them. There's a lifetime on those. Yes. And I think they, I remember this time last year, we talked about it, they were getting near their end of life for the current bulbs in there before they had to swap them out. So I know that's something that, and more, I mean, I saw them in Belize. I'd love to see, I know that the Energy Committee is also looking at going into LEDs throughout the buildings and throughout the town, not just the outdoor street lighting, but I think there should be something coming up relatively soon, because I'd like to hear more about it, and I'd like to see if there's a way we can save the cash.
Get the cash.
Well, it's
no,
the town's money to
save. Save some, yeah.
We have another, all right, we have another meeting this Thursday night.
Okay.
If you.
Perfect.
Anyway, it's a public meeting. You'd like to, you know.
Well, we're just asking if you could touch, if you could touch base with them.
It's been on, you know, one of the projects that they've been working on. And this one's come to be, there's some cash and value in here.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there isn't. I just know that that's been on the plate for a while.
And this has got to be moved forward first. Not, both of them can be done, but when you're talking about LEDs, we've got to get money. Money has to be spent to get it.
I'm just hoping that sometime in the near future, we can look at something that came out of the committee. Yeah, that's all. And then I only have one little thing, and then I'm ready, I'm done. I know I brought this up in September. I know a bunch of cities are doing it now for their March ballot, and I'm agnostic to it, actually leaning against it, but I still think that we should be looking at whether or not, I know the big thing with the Keno in each town is, well, a lot of towns are putting it on their March ballot as something to vote on, whether or not they want to bring it into. In our town, it would be very limited because it would have to be at a full-service restaurant that serves alcohol, which I think right now we have zero. But, I mean, I don't know if the old Pasquale's, when that opens up, I don't know if that's something that they're, that's going to be a value added to them. I don't know if we want to put something on the ballot to get the town's opinion on that. My sense from looking at this is that regardless of whether or not we put it on the ballot, we will still get the money. So it's not necessarily something that we don't get money from the state towards kindergarten if we don't use it, if we don't do it, or we do it. But what it is like I said, the value to it would be necessary maybe for the restaurant that comes in that wants to offer it. Again, I wouldn't play it. I'd probably vote against it, but I'm usually pretty open about wanting to have the public speak on things like this, especially because other communities are doing it as well. So just a thought.
Are they going through the town or the school portion? I thought they were going through the school portion.
It is, but the town, but we would have to put it on the ballot. The school district wouldn't put it on the ballot. The town,
they don't put it on under?
No, the town would.
Oh, okay.
I know that. Okay. Yeah. So we would. So in our process of putting warrant articles on there, we could put it on there, and then have the towns. I mean, it's been some towns and cities have supported it. Rochester, as you saw, was a tie, which means it died.
It was a loss.
Yeah. So tie means it doesn't pass. But it was one vote ahead, and then they found the vote. But some communities passed it, some didn't. So.
But really, what difference? I mean, it's like. You can vote on it, but we'll do what we want anyway, so it's kind of silly.
Well, no. If we vote on
it,
we are allowed, it's like, yeah, it's local option is what it is. It allows, if the town votes yes, then restaurants would be able to apply to the lottery commission to get a Keno machine. Yes.
Okay.
If they voted no, they couldn't.
Okay, I see.
So that's all that is. Right now, I think it's not applicable because we don't have any restaurants that serve alcohol that are active. But if one were, but we will. And I don't know if that's something that might be appealing. Just something to think about.
Do you want to bring that back to the next meeting with a motion?
Yeah.
We're not going to bring that to this meeting.
No. I'm bringing this up as food for thought, and I didn't know if there was any opinion on this board on it, on whether or not we want to do this or not.
Let the people decide. That's what I say.
Okay, well,
so
I will
do you
get
want to make a motion next meeting?
Yeah, Mark can handle it.
Why don't I do this? Can we put this on?
However it needs to be worded.
I will do some more research on this. I will ask to have it on the agenda, and then the board can vote on whether or not to put it on the warrant.
Very good.
Okay, I'm just bringing it up.
We have warrant articles next meeting anyway, so.
Well, that's great.
I think that's about it. Our next meeting is December 11th, and it's a full agenda. There's numerous things to do, so be prepared. I moved to adjourn, and I was gonna ask the public if anybody had any public input before we entertain a motion to adjourn. Mr. Snow?
I'd like to speak to you for a minute, Selectman. At the thing that they did on the town planning thing earlier this spring, one of the things that came out of it was they were interested in safe streets. Safe streets, and Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission's been working on age-friendly community too. I had suggested to the Municipal Budget Committee earlier the year when they were doing a work session, the possibility of talking about getting our streets with a marker on them, pavement marking. It's something that would allow people to drive on the streets and know where the center of the road is. And I'm thinking just one white line down the middle of them. If you drive the streets and you come across those that are under state maintenance, you got these double yellow lines. You're there when they're driving at night, you're there when it's snowy. You at least know where the hell you are on the roads. So I had suggested that to the Municipal Budget Committee. I don't know if it ever got put into the budget. I don't know if you've had any discussions about it. So I guess the question is, has there been any discussion? And you're talking about warrant articles now, so that's what keyed me. Has there been any discussion about putting striping on those roads that are not state maintained to get us at least a white stripe down the center of them?
I've had no discussion with anybody on that except for one instance on the South Road, and there's been no discussion about that in this year that since.
Is there anything been put in the budget for?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, then I guess what I'd like to do is would the selectmen consider putting in a warrant article to see if the town would stripe those pavements that are not currently striped with just single white stripe down, if that's
you wouldn't
legal and
put a white stripe on the center of the road.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put a white stripe in the center of the road, Mr. Snow. White stripes are for the edge. Yellow stripes are for the middle.
Well, whatever's appropriate, a yellow or a white stripe.
But, and that would be something that would have to come from a highway agent, I would think, that he would have to recommend that to the board, and he would put that in his budget after he got a cost of it, and then the Board of Selectmen would make a decision whether we want to stripe the roads or not. I think that would be the proper process. And we'll hear from Mr. Lewis on that topic.
I think the highway agent thinks that direction should come from the Board of Selectmen.
I was just going to say, let's pass the responsibility.
Well, you get a price on what it would cost, before that, the next meeting.
Oh, that price. That direction. Well,
yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, it might should be involved too.
Did we get anything happening on the South Road?
No, I haven't done anything with it yet. So,
direction.
I can get a price on what it would be to just a single yellow line down X amount of miles of road.
I'm kind of waiting for High Street.
Meeting and you can decide. But
for High Street, for the speed limit to go up on High Street.
It already has. Yeah. Yeah. Nice for a year.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, no, 45 is a new amount?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was the old one.
Anyway, Doc. Right.
I'll get you.
Forget I said anything, Mike.
Yeah. That way you know what it's going to cost, and then you can make a decision.
I'm all set. You don't have to do that on my account. I was just a scenario of how it would go.
Yeah, that was just giving you a hard time anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Southern New Hampshire gave me a...
If we have a price, then we know... Yeah. Then everybody will know what Dick's saying here, and make a decision on the cost of it, too. I mean, it's a substantial amount of money to stripe your road.
Well, yeah, and then you have to maintain the stripe, because if something happens and the stripe's gone, then you're liable for not having the stripe. And
I had asked Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission, he gave me, said Enfield had done it, and the quote he'd said was something like 11 point some cents per foot. So, and I don't know the amount of mileage that would be, or the footage that would be associated with that which we striped, and would we do it with
500 bucks a mile? Then how many miles?
Well, they think they were talking 4K in Enfield, something like that.
We'd be striping what 30 some odd miles of road, so
18 grand.
How much?
18 grand.
I would say it's going to be at least 18,000.
Yeah, I would think so.
Thinking more like, you know, from what other towns I've heard, you know, in the 20s somewhere.
First time someone's got to lay it out.
Somebody's going to spend all that time laying it out, which is very time consuming. You know, you don't just.
Oh, yeah. Thinking what we paid for a parking lot. For the parking lot, listen.
Yeah, there's a significant amount of layout time. Carlton is right there. So
anyway, Mr. Snow, we appreciate it. We'll consider that if you would like.
I understand that Dennis is going to come back at the next meeting with a mileage and a cost?
I will do that.
I mean, I've had feedback from residents that thought that it'd be a marvelous thing to do, and if the selectman doesn't want to, I can try and put in a petition warrant article, but I'd like
it's
to.
It's not a warrant article item. The question would be a warrant article item. The
would
question,
you like to,
do you want your road striped? But whether it's either a yes or no answer. And then if it's yes, it doesn't matter if it's 10,000 or 30,000. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Then you budget for it.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret that question. But I could be wrong. You know,
well, Dennis is
we're
going to
make the road safe for 5,000, but if it costs us 10, we don't want it. So I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know that. So what I just said is the way I think. Do you want your road striped or not? If the answer is yes, we'll put it in the budget next year.
Okay. So next meeting?
Or the one after that. The next meeting's full, isn't it? Aren't we kind of full?
Yeah. I'll do it with my monthly report. Just
there we
be
go.
Brief as always.
Well, there's no reason to do it unless we know if the people want it or not.
Just to give you an idea of what the
cost. It'll help. That'll help, Carlton.
My liaison wants to hear the numbers.
Yes, I want to hear the numbers. Every single penny. I'll even help strike it. I didn't know about being crazy. I was just trying to say that.
Right?
Yeah, I'm just getting his. I think we're wrapped up in this folder.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Meeting adjourned 8 o'clock.
Not bad.
Thank you all.
Mike, they really did increase the speed.